Begin the current daf Masechet Pesachim daf Ayin Vav. We begin on the bottom line of Ayin Heman base, where the Gemara introduces a machloikis regarding the halachas of bishul, of mixing and cooking different items, one that was aser and one that's mutter, or mixing things that will then be prohibited, if the mixture will then be considered a fulfilled mixture, which will then come into the discussion that our Mishnah had introduced on the previous daf on the bottom. So the Gemara begins, Itmar we learned. Cham l'toy cham. If you have something hot, going into something that's hot. So there's something that's coming from the top, going into something that's in the bottom. Let's say you're taking hot meat, that hot gravy, hot meat, that then you're pouring into hot milk. Or let's say one is forbidden and one is mutter. Divrei HaKol, everyone agrees, and we continue on top of Ayin Vav and Alf, that also that's going to be forbidden because the heter, the permitted item, is absorbing from the forbidden item because they're cooking together, they're mixing with the heat element that's in there because they're both hot. If let's say something cold is spilling into something cold, then everyone agrees it's going to permit it. So let's say if you have a cold piece of meat that fell into a cold cup of milk, you just go ahead and wash it off because, again, they didn't mix the flavors of one, didn't go into the other because there was no element of heat that would then go ahead and mix it. However, if something hot fell into something cold, or if something cold fell into something hot, that is where we have machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar Rav holds, Ilo Agavar. The upper one is the stronger one. That's the one that, quote, wins. And therefore, when you have something hot that falls into something cold, it's going to be usher. Because the upper one is the stronger one. It's the more powerful of the two. And therefore, it heats up the bottom one. And now they're both considered as if they're hot. And therefore, since they're hot, there's a heat element to them. Therefore, they're going to absorb taste from one to the other. Whereas if, let's say, something cold falls into something hot, it's going to be permitted because the upper one, again, is the stronger one according to Rav, and it's going to cool down the low one that's hot, and therefore it's not going to absorb, we're going to consider them as both cold. Shmuel says, no, tatogavar. He says the lower one is the stronger one, and therefore, when you have something hot going to something cold, it's going to be permitted because the lower one is the colder one. And if you have something cold going to something hot, then it's going to be forbidden. Now, Rashi tells us that although generally the halacha is like Rav by Isurim, by prohibitions, on this halacha we follow like Shmuel, because the Gemara is going to bring two braises that support the opinion of Shmuel, and therefore the halacha follows Tata Gavar. It's the bottom one that you're pouring into that will define the elements of both of them if we consider them as hot, and therefore they're mixing taste, and therefore create an Isur, or if that they are cold. Now the Gemara first asks many different questions from our Mishnah on Shmuel. So now we learn in our Mishnah, Nataf meiroitvay al acheres. If it dripped from the gravy of the Karban Pesach onto the earthenware, v'chazrei lav, and then it bounced back onto the Karban Pesach. So we said yitalas mekami, since it's gravy, it's something that's very fattening, goes deep into the Karban Pesach, and it's hot. So you're going to have to take off a large chunk of the Karban Pesach because it went and touched the cheres, which is then being heating the gravy, alidei davaracha, it's not sli'esh, not roasted just by fire, it's roasted through the hot cheres now. Now that's going back into the Karban Pesach. If it's going back into the Karban Pesach, it's not just sli'esh, and therefore you have to take off whatever got in deep from that gravy, which has sli'esh alidei davaracha. Now, kasal kedaitach, the Gemara had assumed, b'cheres tzeinenes, that what was the case of that Mishnah? That it was talking about, like the pot that it was in was an earthenware pot, that if it dripped from the gravy onto the earthenware, and now from the pottery, it went back into the Karban Pesach. Therefore, the Gemara asks, Bish lema lo Rav, dame lo gavar. We could understand this case of a Mishnah, according to Rav, that he says it's the upper one, the one that's coming into that other item. That's the stronger one that defines the element of both of them. Bisham hachi yitlas mekaimai. Now we can understand the halacha of our Mishnah, why you have to take off a large chunk of the piece of the Karban Pesach where the gravy jumped back in after it hit the cheres, because the ozel roitiv meratech le cheres, because the gravy, which is hot, coming out of the hot Karban Pesach, it goes and heats up the earthenware vessel that it dripped onto, again, because the upper one is the one that defines the lower one. Now, once it heats up the cheres, v'had the cheres meratech le roitiv, now the earthenware, which is hot, it goes now and heats up, whatever it has inside of it heats up the gravy, which now that's a problem because that's limachmas davarach, as we explained. Now that gravy is not roasted just by fire, it's roasted through something else of the hot cheres. V'chihad the rate of a pesach, and now when the gravy bounces back up onto the Karban Pesach, kamakvi pesach machmas chamimus to the cheres, comes out that the Karban Pesach is being roasted from the heat of the earthenware, which is going through the gravy back into the Karban Pesach. Rachmanam, and the Torah tells us in the Pasuk in Shemois, Tzli'esh, the Karban Pesach has to be roasted just by fire. Falitli machmas davar achar, not roasted through anything else. And that's why we understand that you have to take away whatever, however deep back this gravy went to the Karban Pesach. Elishmul dama tato gava, but according to Shmuel, that he says that the lower one defines both the upper one and the bottom one. Cheres kim nitzainhu, said, since this earthenware pot, since it is cold, akui maker leila reitiv, to the contrary, since tato gava, it cools down the upper gravy that's falling into the pot. So why do you have to take off parts of the Karban Pesach where the gravy went back into it? The cheres itself never heated up that gravy. It never sheared any taste. It never did anything. Never heated it. And therefore, that gravy is not tzli al de davar acher because it wasn't roasted by the cheres. To the contrary, it not only was itself cold, it even made the gravy cold. And therefore, never heated it. So what's the problem when it goes back on the Karban Pesach? And that the Gemara says, as will be quoted later, as he said, a teretz for a later question, besoilis reisachas, that he had answered a question from later on that Mishnah, that when it fell into the flour, it was talking about hot flour, achanami becheres reisach, here also we're talking about the gravy that fell onto the cheres, was talking about the cheres of the oven, that which was made out of earthenware, that was hot. That was hot, so even Shmuel would agree, since it's a tall gover, that's now going to heat up, even if the gravy of the Karban Pesach was not hot, it would heat it up, and therefore would make it tzli al de davar acher, which would make a problem, and it goes back into the Karban Pesach. Now the Gemara continues to ask him Shmuel from our Mishnah. Now we learned in our Mishnah, not tef mi reit fayal asaylis, if it dripped from the gravy of the Karban Pesach onto flour. So the halacha was yikma tzis makami, you have to take a fistful from the place where it fell around there in the gravy, because that's a problem, because of it has... element of the Karban Pesach, as the Gemara explains. The Gemara had assumed that it was talking about cold flour. Now, therefore, the Gemara had said, so now we understand that this halacha would make sense according to Rav, that it says the upper one is the one that defines it. That's why you have to take a fistful of the flour around where the gravy fell. Because the gravy is heating up the flour that's around where it fell, which that's the term hadar hadran, and the word hadar is from the word schar, to go around. So whatever's around it, it's heating it up, because the upper one, which is hot, it will heat up the lower one, which is cold. And then, so since now it heats up the flour, v'hadris soilis umartech lili didei. Now that the flour is hot, because it got heated up by the gravy, as Rav said, now it goes and heats up back the gravy. Now, v'kamatvi reitiv machmas chemimusa desaylis. So it comes out that the gravy is getting heated up from the flour. Oh, v'rachman amatz liyesh v'litzli machmas davacher. And the Torah tells us that that's not good, because you can't have the reitiv, which is part of the Karban Pesach, roasted by anything but fire, and here it's roasted from the flour. So that's why we understand why that will be considered pasul gravy, and you're going to have to go ahead and burn it. But according to Shmuel, it says that the lower one is the one that defines the heat index of both of them. So since the flour, regular flour, that's cold, to the contrary, it's cooling down the hot gravy. So therefore, why do we need to have taking off this fistful from the place? It should be enough with just to take from the place. Why do we need to take a fistful? And some are gurus that, some are not. But anyway, the basic fundamental question that the Gemara is asking is that it's not heating it up. To the contrary, the cold flour is cooling down the gravy. So just take away the gravy. But you don't say that the flour heated up the gravy to say that the gravy is going to be pasul. There's no pasul in the gravy. On that, Amar Yirmi Mishmul, which was this statement that we had mentioned before that we compared to the case of cheres, was besoilis roisachas. We're talking about the flour is hot. Oh, the flour is hot. So then, tata gavar, even according to Shmuel, it will heat up the gravy. And heating up the gravy is not going to be just sliyesh. It's going to be slimach mastav achra, and that's why it's possible. So again, the Gemara asked from Shmuel from our Mishnah. So now we learned in our Mishnah. Sachei b'shemel chol chumri. We said in our Mishnah, on the previous daf, that if someone smeared the Karban Pesach with oil of chumah, so he said, imcha buris kahanam yechelu, if there are a group of kahanam who are allowed to eat chumah, so go ahead and eat the Karban Pesach like that. We said, imishal yisrael, we said, however, if they're non-kahanam, then we said it depends. Imchaihu yidachana, if the meat was raw, so then you could just wash it off, because what's the big deal? It's not absorbing any taste of the chumah, because it's cold. Im tzlihu, however, if the Karban Pesach was roasted, yiklef es achitzin, then you have to peel away the outer pot. Now the Gemara asks, Bishlem el Rav Dami lo go, according to Rav, who says that the upper one is the one that defines the heat. But that's why it's enough just to peel away the peel worth of the Karban Pesach. Because the upper one, which was the oil, is cold. Now, although the Karban Pesach is hot, but the upper one, which is cold, is cooling down the hot Karban Pesach. And however, as Rashi explains, you still needed to peel away a peel's worth. Because even if it was totally cold, the Karban Pesach, since it's already roasted and it's dry, it's not possible that the smearing of the oil will not at least go into it a little bit. And since it's going to be going into a little bit, even though it's cold, since it's going to be absorbed because it's already roasted, that's why you have to take off a peel's worth. But not more than that, because there's no heat element that we're talking about over here. El Shmuel, according to Shmuel Dametato Gavar, who he says that the low one, which is the Karban Pesach, and the upper one, the oil that you're smearing into, will then become hot from the lower Karban Pesach. So Kivin the Chamhu, since the Karban Pesach is hot, and the oil is now hot, Mivla Bala, so then it will be absorbing it. Amai Sagile Beklipa, wiser enough just to peel away a peel's worth. Nitzalagami, the entire Karban Pesach should be asked because it's totally going in. It's like regular two hot things that it can absorb throughout. And that the Gemara says, you're right, the oil does become hot, but Shani Sicha, anointing, just smearing is different. There's only very little that you're actually putting in, and therefore, although it's totally getting absorbed, there's only that far that it goes. And how far does it go? It only goes into a peel's worth, and that's why it's enough with a klipa. So now after the Gemara had all these questions from Shmuel in our Mishnah, Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel. We have braises that actually support Shmuel, and that's why Rashi said, Halacha fal Shmuel, that we say Tata Gavra, that actually in Halacha, the lower one is the one that defines the upper one. So the braises says, Cham lo teicham aser. That everyone agrees, when you have something hot going to something hot, it's forbidden. Which is like Shmuel. Similarly, the halacha is that when the cold one goes into the hot one, it's going to be aser. Obviously, you see, tata gava. However, if hot going into cold, which again, the bottom one's cold, and cold going into cold, then you just have to wash it off because there's no heat element and therefore there's no absorption of taste. You could just wash it off, make sure there's nothing on the surface. And that the Gemara asks, is it really true that if something hot is going to cold, you just wash it off? Even according to Shmuel. But the problem is, Kivin the Chamhu, since the upper one is hot, until the low one cools off the upper one, which it actually does, but in that process, it's not possible that it won't be absorbing at least a little bit. And therefore, klipim in the bay, it should at least need a peel's worth, as we had just explained for Shmuel before, that we explained to Rav that criteria that although something is cooling down one the other, there could still be an element of that it goes into a peel's worth. And similar, the Gemara is saying over here that although it's cooling it down, in that process it's going to be going in at least a peel's worth. So why would we say just that you have to wash it off? El Emer, rather, the Gemara amends it and says, Cham l'teich tzaynin kailif. You're right. Although the bottom one is the most important one, and that is cold, and it cools it down. However, in the process, since the upper one is hot, it will at least get absorbed in a peel's worth, and therefore you do have to peel it off. However, cold into cold, it's enough just to wash it off. Similarly, the Gemara says, Tani Yidichulim, another Brice like Shmuel, which again the Gemara amends, is Bas Risech Shenafel Techalav Risech. If hot meat falls into cold meat, again, which is the problem of Bas B'chalav, V'chein Tzainin Shenafel Techam, or if cold falls into hot, then us again, we said that's us because since the lower one is hot, we view both of them as hot, and it's mixing meat and milk. However, Cham L'Techzayin, if hot falls into cold, or cold goes into cold, then all you have to do is wash it off. And again, the Gemara asks, Cham L'Techzayin, if you have hot and the cold, all you have to do is wash it off. But Kivin, the Cham, who is since the upper one is hot, Ademiyakele, up until that it gets cooled off, it's not possible, it's not going to absorb at least a little bit because it is cooking, it's hot. Klipit moin abaya, it should at least need a peel's worth to be taken off. Halema Rev, the Gemara says it amends it as it did before. Cham l'tech tzayin in kail. If you're right, when it's hot into cold, you have to at least peel it off. When it goes cold into cold, all you have to do is wash it off. Now the Gemara goes back to explain what we had mentioned before. Amama, we said before, tzayin l'tech tzayin madiach. There, everyone agrees. Cold going into cold, all you have to do is wash it off. Now, the Gemara qualifies this halacha. Rav Huna says, Loi shanu, we didn't say that when they're both cold and there's no heat element, that so there's no absorption of taste, all you have to do is wash it off. We didn't teach that elishle malchu. only if they weren't salted. Aval malchoy, however, if one of them is salted, then aser, then it will create an iser in the other one. And why is that? The Mashmul Kashmul says, Meliach harehu kareseach. When it is salted, it has the halacha as if it's hot. There's something that, a chemical reaction that the salt creates in that food item, which will have the same halachic status as when something is hot. And therefore, if it's salted, it will create an absorption of taste, even if it's cold. Another halacha that Shmuel said was that kavish, if something is pickled in vinegar, harehu kimavushal. That has the same halacha as cooking. And therefore, if you have two things that are marinating, that are, one thing is aser and one thing is heter, that are marinating in the same area, they're both going to be aser because it's as if they were cooked together, if they were marinating together. And again, even though there's no heat element, these chemical reactions create the absorption of taste in the same halachic process. However, the Gemara continues to qualify this halacha. Amar Rava, Rava says, Hada Amar Shmuel Malicha Kari Kresech. So we had just quoted before Rav Huna said that this halacha was only if it was not salted, but if it was salted, then we have Loch of Shmuel, who says that salting is like it's hot. And that Rava qualifies that and says, Lo Yamarin, we didn't say that it's like it's hot. Elish Loy Nechel Machmas Melcha, that it's not edible because of the salt that's inside of it. In other words, it was salted so much until you can't eat it because it's so salty. Now, although it's not totally inedible, and it's not totally a nechel, however, no person generally would eat it in the state that it's in because it's just too overly salted, like you say. So then, if it's that much salted, then we say that amount of salt is already a lot, which we'll then consider as if it's hot. However, if it's salted, but it's salted in an edible way, which people like that amount of salt, then Shmuel would not say that it's like reseach. And then the halacha would be, if they're both cold, then it would still be kasher that you could just be madich and wash it off, because that would not be as if it's hot. As the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this. Hu bar gezala, there was an incident where a young pigeon, tenafalakada de kamcha, that fell into a jug of kamcha, which was the famous Babylonian dip of kutach, which had elements of milk and salt inside of it. So shayir rav chin the bered de rava mepeshrunya. He said that it's permitted, although we have this bird, that's meat, that fell into this dip, that's milchik. He said, it's not a problem. And although there was salt inside of it. Samar Rava, Rava said, Man chakim lemishra milsekiha. Who is so wise to permit this case? Ilav Rav Chinna bered Rav Mepeshrin. If not for such a great Talmud Chacham, the Gavar Rabbi, he's such a great Talmud Chacham. And he explained, because Amalach, he's going to tell you, that ki amishmul malich harei kareisech, when did Shmuel say, that when something is salty, as if it's hot, and therefore this dip that's salty, should it be as if it's hot, and then it's, especially it's on the bottom, Tatar Gavar. It's going to be heating up. If we say that element, that there is an element of heat in the salt, and you have that with the bird, so therefore it should be a problem of Basa B'chalav. That's only that we said, She'ein Necha Machmas Melchay. That's only if it's inedible because of the salt. Hai Necha Machmas Melchay. Here, this is a dip. Everyone uses it. It is edible because of its salt. Therefore, that's not like Reseach, and therefore all you have to do is wash off the bird. There's no problem. However, the Gemara makes another qualification in this halacha. The Hanami Lichai. Now, this halacha that we said, for example, regarding this bird, that this young pigeon that fell into the dib, it's enough to just wash it off, even though it's salty, because it's not so salty that it's inedible. It's only if it's raw. Avatzli by klipa. But if it's roasted, it would have to be peeled, even if it's necha machmas melchai, again, because of the fact that it's roasted, that would make it soft already. It's not like it's raw anymore. And hence, it would already absorb some of that milchig inside of it, and then you would have to peel it. And again, v'loy amarin, we did not say that when it's roasted, that at least you're going to have to peel it, ela delesba peeli, only if there's no cracks in that meat. Al isbe peeli aser, but if there's cracks, then aser, it's going to be totally aser, not going to be enough even with just taking a peel's worth. And that is because that there's cracks, and then it's going totally inside the piece of meat. And then, even if it's nechmel, machmas melchoy, and there's a large machlik, so Hashem exactly how to define this sugya, but essentially the cracks are enough to make it aser. Regarding tzli, if it's going to be even nech machmas melchoy from the salt, it will be enough to go ahead and require klipa. And if it is Even if there's no cracks, and even if it's not roasted, the fact that it's so inedible because it's salt, that itself would also make it enough for an element of reseach, and also, again, would recreate an iser, because it would be considered, like reseach, it would be considered as if it's an absorption of taste because of the salt that's causing that chemical reaction inside that product. And then the Gemara says that there is one more element that has the same criteria. V'imetova, if this pigeon was spiced, betavli, with spices, then aser, then again it's going to be aser. Because again, the same principle, because the spices make the pigeon soft, and it's going to be absorbing the kutach, even if there's no cracks. So similar to what we said regarding the halacha of the cracks, where that will also make it aser, because it's going throughout, same thing would apply, that if it's spiced, that will make it that type of the texture of the pigeon will be that it's soft and it's going to be absorbing, then it's going to be totally usr. So therefore, there was many different qualifications in this halacha that we're saying that one would be even without the other based on their principles of allowing the absorption of the taste from one to the other, from the kutach dip, which is milchik, to the pigeon, which is considered meat. Now on this topic, the Gemara says, Amar Rav. Rav says, we continue to Amid Beis, Basar shchuta shamin, if there's fatty kosher slaughtered meat, should sloyim basr nevela kachash, that was roasted with non-kosher, non-fatty meat, then the halacha is aser, it's going to be aser. And that is the case that we're talking about, is that they were both roasted in the same oven, but on two different spits, one very far from the other. The halacha is going to be aser. Now, my time, what's the reason? Mefatmi mehadad, because we say that they get fatty one from the other. As Rashi explains, that the reach, the aroma from the fatty one, goes throughout, it permeates the oven, it goes into the weaker one, the non-fatty one, which doesn't have that aroma, and it fattens it up. And then that, which was formerly kachush, from the non-kosher one, goes now back into the oven, and that aroma goes back into the kosher one. And Rashi says that most definitely, if the shchuta was the kosher one and the nevela was the fatty one, for sure. But the chiddush that Rav is teaching us is that don't say that since the non-kosher one is kachush, it's not fatty, and since it doesn't have an aroma that will be going throughout the oven, that it won't aser the shchuta. It's not true. That the chiddush that he's teaching us is that not only is there a problem of aroma that will convey one taste to the other one, but even when the fatty one is the kosher one, it will then go ahead and fatten up the non-kosher one through the aroma, and then that aroma is going to go back to the kosher one, and therefore make a treva, and therefore it's usher if you went and roasted these two in the same oven. V'levi Amar, however, Levi argues, he says, afila basa shchuta kachash, he says the chiddush the other way. Even if the kosher one is the non-fatty one, should tzlayim basa nevela shamin, that was roasted in the same oven on different spits with fatty non-kosher meat, mutter, it's permitted. My time, what's his reason? Recha be'amahu. What is it? It's just aroma. Verecha lav milsi, and recha, aroma is nothing. If you cook two things together and then you're absorbing taste, that's a problem. But just aroma is going from one to the other, that's not a problem in halacha. And therefore, even if the non-kosher one's the fatty one, it's going to be kosher. As the Gemara says, Ovad Levi uv de beirish galusa, that he actually followed through with a psak halacha in the house of the rish galusa, begediv adav achar, with a kid goat and a chazer, with swine, that they were roasted in the same oven, and the halacha came in front of him, and he said it's permitted, because again, he held that reich alav milsi, it's just aroma, and it's nothing. Another thing where it says, Meisve, they asked the following, from the following brayso on Levi. It says, Ein sayin shnei pesachim ke'echad, cannot roast two carbon pesachs as one, memnei hataruvus, because of the mixture of the taste. Now what's the problem if the taste of the carbon pesach mix comes out, that the Pesach is eaten shaloi lemnuyev, for those that were not counted on it, because the taste of that one's going to the other group. They weren't counted among that. Now, that's a psul, as we had said, that the Karban Pesach has to be only for those that were counted on it. So therefore, even if one is a gedi, a kid, and one is a tle, which they won't mix up one with the other, there's still going to be this problem of the mixtures. Now, the Gemara says, my love to Ruvah's time. Doesn't it make sense, as we had just been explaining, that the problem is the mixture of tastes, because that although they're both on different spits, but in the same oven, but the tastes are going to be fattening one from the other, and it comes out that the Pesach was eaten shaloi lemnuyev. So bekasha Levi, that's difficult according to Levi, who he says that the roasting on the spits, which is how the Karban Pesach is roasted, is not a problem, because there's just aroma, and aroma doesn't go ahead and mix from one to the other. And the thing where it says loy, not a difficult to Levi, Mnei Taruv is goofing. What we were talking about was because of the mixture, mixing up, not of the taste, but of the actual animals themselves. We were concerned that they shouldn't get mixed up. And even if one is a kid goat and one is a lamb, sometimes you're not going to realize that you need to mix them up. That is why we said you can't roast them together, because we might mix up the different karbanis, not because the tastes are going to get mixed up. As the Gemara says, Hachana Mistab, it actually makes sense like Levi. Miktani say from the fact that the end of that brisa says, Afila Gedivat Le, even if one is a Gedi, is a kid, if one is a goat, and one is a lamb, even then we said you shouldn't roast them together. Now, Iyamr Bishlem Negufan, if you say because the halacha is like Levi, that the problem was we might mix up the different animals and give one to the other group. That's what the Mishnah said, that even if one is a Gedi, one is a Tleh, that which you shouldn't make such a mix-up, but still it might happen. They might not realize, say, oh, quickly get us our Karban Pesach, and they're not going to notice. That would be the Chiddush. Eliyam, the Teruvah's time, but if you would say that it was like Rav because of the problem of mixing up the taste, Malik Gedi Tleh, what would be the difference if one is a Gedi and one is a Tleh? Malik Gedi Gedi, what would be the difference if each one is a Gedi? Doesn't make a difference. The taste of one cannot go in the taste of other because there are different groups that are set up in each one. So what would be the Chiddush of Af, Gedi Tleh, must be Elamai al Karchach, that when it said Afilo Gedi Tleh, what it's teaching is Bnei Teruvah's Guven Adasa. The only problem that we're concerned about is because we might mix up the actual animals of a Teruvah's time Ashari, but that the mixture of taste, that's permitted, and we weren't concerned about that. That the Gemara asks, if so, let's turn the tables. Limitav to Yiftid Rav. Let's say this price refutes Rav, because based on Rav, just the taste themselves should be a problem. On that, Omer B'Yirmiyah, Hochma Yiskin, what we're talking about over here, that we said the same thing would apply to Gdi and Tleh, that sounds like we're not concerned about the taste, it's just that we might mix up the different animals, and that's why we said, even if it's Gdi and Tleh, Kugan should slowly b'shtei kederes. We're talking about in a case when it was roasted in two pots, which the Gemara first asked, wait a second, b'shtei kederes sakadaitach, can you say that we're talking about in two pots? You can't roast a Karban Pesach in a pot, it has to be roasted on a spit. Elayma, rather, the Gemara says, k'ein shtei kederes. What we're talking about over here is as if it was roasted in two pots, which means that you have a spit over here, and you have a spit over here, and you have a huge mound of coals or of ashes in between the two of them. So it's as if they're in two different pots. V'hachi kamer, and this is what the Brice is saying. Ein tzoylen shnei psochem ke'echat nei tarubis. You can't roast two Karban Pesachs because of the mixture. Now, my tarubis, what is that mixture? That is like Rav said, tarubis timing, because of the problem of the mixture of taste. Now, this that the Brisa then adds on, which we said sounds like they're only concerned about the mixture of the different animals, but not of the taste. When it says, Vafilike ain't shtei kederes, now the mission, what the Brisa was adding was, even if it's like two different pots, where we said, because of this huge mound mixed that's separating the two of them, and therefore there's not going to be a mixture of taste. The Leket Tarubis time, where there is no mixture of taste, still also there, it's still forbidden. Mishum Tarubis Gufrin, because of the mixture that you might mix up the different bodies. And that's even if one is a goat and one is a lamb, it doesn't make a difference. We're still concerned you might mix them up, and therefore it's not difficult according to Rav, because they're probably saying both halachas, one when there is no separation between the two of them, and therefore there's a problem with Tarubis time. And when there is a separation and there is no Tarubis time, we're still confused that you might mix up the animals themselves. Amar Rav Moris, Rav Moris says, regarding this machlekes of Rav and Levi, ketanoi, let's say it's a machlekes tanoim, as we have in the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas. The Mishnah says, haroida pas chama. If someone's taking down hot bread from the oven, v'nasna pi chavis yayin shel truma, he puts it on top of a barrel of wine that's truma. Rimeya ois, Rimeya says that bread is forbidden for non-kahanim because the reyach, the aroma of the wine that's truma, goes into the bread. You can't have truma for a non-kain. Rabbi Yehuda Mata, Rabbi Yehuda says it's permitted. Rabbi Yasi, he says, depends. Mata b'shalchit, and he says it's permitted if the bread is made out of wheat flour. Va'isa b'shalchit, however, says it's forbidden if it's made out of barley flour. And the reason is, because barley flour draws out the aroma from the wine, and therefore that is going to have the aroma of the truma, but the wheat one will not, so therefore it's going to be permitted. So my love, Tanoim, it doesn't make sense. That machlekes, Tanoim, is the same machlekes of Rav and Levi. The Marsava, that Rabbi Huda that said it's permitted, he held like Levi that Rechalav Milsi. He says aroma is nothing, so big deal. So you put it on top of the barrel of wine that's Shuma, you can still eat it. Marsava, a mayor that said that it's Aser Rechal Milsi, he held like Rav that aroma is a problem, and therefore that's why you can't eat it. And that the Gemara says, wait, Levi, according to Levi, that he says that aroma is nothing. Vada, you have to say that his opinion of saying that Rechalav Milsi is definitely Tanoihi. You have to say it is a machlekes Tanoihi. because obviously Reb Meir holds that Recha is Milsahi, and that's why he held it's Asa. Same thing Reb Yaisi. He just differentiated if it's wheat or if it's barley. Therefore, what Levi has to say, if there is someone like me, I would have to say that Reb Yehuda is the one that says like me. However, the Gemara says, L'Rav Neim Tanoihi, do we have to say that Rav, his opinion of saying Recha Milsahi will depend on the Machlekes Tanoim, and he's going to say that, wait, I have Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda says like me, but Reb Yehuda is not like me, or maybe the Gemara is saying, Reb Yehuda also holds like Rav. And the reason why he says permit over there is because he holds, not that Recha is Lav Milsahi, although aroma is something, but it's not going in to the bread, the Recha, in that type of case. As the Gemara says, Amalcha Rav, Rav would tell you, the Kuliyama Recha Milsahi, everyone would agree, all opinions, all three opinions, that the Mishnah Sechtes Trumas, that aroma is substantive and therefore it could create a halachic problem. Now the reason of Rabbi Yehuda that it's mutter is because either that the bread was cold or that the barrel was closed and therefore the aroma is not going in, as the Gemara explains. Lavit ma'alodahi, didn't we explain regarding that Mishnah Masechtas Trumas that Amar Rabbi Baruch Hanan Mish Lakish bepascham of a chavas psucha, when the bread is hot and the barrel was open, the v'yakol asa, everyone holds that it's asa, because then for sure it's going in, it's open and it's hot, it's for sure going to draw it in. Bepascham nanas v'chavas magufa, when the bread is cold and the barrel is closed, the v'yakol mut, everyone holds it permitted because it's closed and it's cold, of course nothing's coming in. Lo nechleku, their whole machlekes was ele pascham of a chavas chasuma, that when the bread is hot and the barrel is closed, or past Tainan is when the bread is cold, but v'chavas pesucha, and the barrel is open. And therefore, v'ha, this case, Rav is saying, that I'm talking about, that I'm arguing with Levi, when you have these two spits of the carbon pesach in one oven, nami kapaschama v'chavas pesucha dami, that would be equated with the case of when the bread is hot and the barrel is open, which is essentially the same thing. These two are being roasted, that they're open one to the other. And they're hot, where they even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's going to be Aser, and therefore he says that it doesn't have to be Talmud Machlokes Tanaim. Everyone would agree to my opinion, because there, as we said, they're only arguing when you have one and not the other. But when you have both, open and hot, of course everyone hold that it would be Aser, because they all hold Recha is Milsi, that is halachic, a component to consider. So related to this, the Gemara says, Tani Rav Kahana Barid Rav Chinna Saba, Pas sha'afa im slibatana, regarding bread that was baked together with a piece of meat that was being roasted in the same oven, aslach lebekutcha, you cannot eat it with that Babylonian dip of kutach, which is milchik, again, because the bread, based on the principle of recha, gets from the aroma of the meat, fleishigs, and therefore you can't eat it with milchigs. Similarly, the Gemara says, ahi benisa, regarding a piece of fish, the itva bahadi bisa, that was roasted together with meat in the same oven, he did not allow someone to eat that fish with milchigs, with that dip of kutach, because of the problem of, again, of recha milsi, that the fish, although it's parv, gets fleishigs from the meat, and therefore you can't have it with kutach, with to put on as a dip, because of problem of milchig and fleishigs, of basal chalav. The Gemara says that Mar Barav Ashiyama, he says, regarding that last halacha, of when you have that fish that was roasted with the meat, afilu b'milcha nami asura, even with salt, which essentially is saying you can't even have the fish itself, by itself, even without milchis. Now why is that? What's the problem with the fish, that it was roasted together with the meat? Because having, cooking meat and fish becomes a problem, l'recha, for odor, b'ladavar acher, and for something else, which Rashi explains the element of tzaras, that could come out from eating. And that's a halacha that's mentioned in our Gemara, that one should not go ahead and cook fish with meat because of its own halachic problem. So therefore, although of course you can't go ahead and have the fish with milk because it already has some meat inside of the fish, and therefore that would be basa b'chalav. However, that's what he's saying. You can't even have it with salt. In other words, you can't have it by itself because fish and meat mixed together is problematic for something else of odor and for tzaras. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this element of tumah, regarding the Karban Pesach, specifically regarding the halacha of Tumah B'Tzibur. How does that play out regarding Karban Pesach and other Karbanis, that the contrast, when there's a Tumah of the Tzibur, that the entire Jewish people have that Tumah. So the Mishnah says, Chamisha Devarim Boin B'Tumah, there are five things that could be brought in a state of Tumah, and that is, you don't have any Karban Tzibur that's eaten besides these five Karbanis Tzibur. Now, a Karban Tzibur is Deche Tumah. What our Mishnah is teaching is that although you can bring this carbon in the state of Tumah, and that will fulfill the chiv of the tzibur to bring that carbon, However, ve'in nechalim b'tumah. However, they cannot be eaten in the state of tumah, which the Gemara later on will ask that there's another one, a sixth one that seems like was left out, which was the se'iri heraglayim, that is the on the yom tivim that there are se'irim that are brought, that seems to be left out. However, the Mishnah says there are five, again, that although that there's a status of tumah, but tumah is permitted in the tzibur. However, it still cannot be eaten. What are these five things? Ha'omer, the carbon omer that's brought on the second day of Pesach, v'shtei halechem, and the two breads that are brought on Shavuos, v'lechem aponim, and the showbreads that are brought every single Shabbos, v'zivchei shalmei tzibur, and the carbon shlamim that are brought in the tzibur, which there's only one time that a shlam is brought by the tzibur, which are the kivsi atzeres. Those are the lambs that are brought on Shavuos, which there's no other shlam that are brought by the tzibur. And the fifth one is v'se'iri rosh chodashim, and the se'irim, the he-goats, that are brought on Rosh Chodesh. Now, however, ha-pesach shabbat b'tumah, regarding the Karban Pesach that is brought in the state of Tumah, for example, if the majority of the Jewish people are Tameh, then there's a different halacha. Nechel b'tumah, there it could be eaten in Tumah. Although we said those five can be brought but not eaten, Karban Pesach could be eaten. Because the whole inception, the whole point of bringing the Karban Pesach was only for its eating. And therefore, when the Torah commands you regarding the Ikar Pesach, it permits you to go ahead and bring it in the state of Tumah, which how do we know that Karban Pesach could be brought in the state of Tumah? Because it says that a person gets pushed off to the Pesach Sheni, which then we infer that the Tzibur does not get pushed off. So when the Torah is permitting you to do it in the state of Tumah, obviously it's permitting you to even eat it in the state of Tumah, because the whole point of the Karban Pesach was for the eating, as the Pasuk says, Lefi Achlai, the Karban Pesach was based on, according to those that are eating it, and therefore if we allow it to be done in the state of Tumah by Karban Pesach, must mean we're allowing you to even eat in the state of Tumah. Now the Gemara elaborates on that Mishnah. The Gemara asks, Chamisha, there are five things, but Lema'ute Mai, what is that coming to exclude? And essentially the Gemara's question is, why do we have to put a number on it? It should have just said, the Karbanat Tzibur that are brought in Tumah are not eaten in the state of Tumah, and then we would have said what they are, and we would know they're five. Why do we have to say the number five? It sounds like that's excluding something. And then the Gemara says, Lema'ute Chagigas Chamisha Asa. It's coming to exclude the Karban Chagiga that's brought on the 15th of Nisan. And the same thing applies to the one that's brought on Shavuos and the Karban Chagiga that's brought on Sukkot. It's just picking one of them. And we had to say that that would not be included in this halacha. And that is because the Selkid, I would have thought to say, Kivin the Karban Tzibur, who since this Karban Chagiga is a Karban Tzibur. Now, as Rashi explains, although every individual brings his own Karban Chagiga, it's not one that's brought by the Tzibur, that's still called a Karban Tzibur, because since it's brought with the masses, with everyone coming together, as the Gemara Masechta Yuma explains, that has the term as a Karban Tzibur. And the Kaboy Le Mayid, it has to have a designated time. So then I would have thought to say, Titchi Tumah, that it should push away the Tumah. It should be like from those five things that are brought in the state of Tumah. Kamash Malan, Kivin de Isle Tashlumi Kol Shabbos, since it could be completed, and you can make up for the entire 7 days of Yom Tov, as the Gemara learns in the first parak of Masechet Chagiga, and I've tested it off, it says, V'chagoyzim oisei chag la'ashem shivas yom. You can bring the Karban Chagiga all 7 days. And therefore, Loidache Shabbos, that's why it doesn't push away Shabbos, because you don't have to do it today, you can do it tomorrow, you can do it for the old 7 days. And therefore, I mean, the Shabbos Loidache, since it doesn't push away Shabbos, Loidache Tumah, it doesn't push away Tumah, because we equate Shabbos and Tumah regarding the halachas as we find by Karban Pesach and Karban Tamid. And therefore, since it can be done all 7 days, and not Deirach Shabbos, not Deirach Tumah, and that's why it's not included in the five things that could be brought in the state of Tumah. And that's why we said five to exclude it. And that the Gemara asks, as we had mentioned before, V'nisni nami sir hagolim, that it should have said that there's another one, a sixth one that we're leaving out, that should have been included, are the he-goats of the Yom Tovim, which come in the Karban Musaf, where that is a Karban Tzibur, and that is also allowed to be brought in the state of Tumah. That the Gemara says, you're right, but Hatani Le'zivich HaShalmei Tzibur, we already said from the Shlamim that are brought by the Tzibur, which are types of blood, in other words, they're Karbanis, that the blood is brought in the state of Tumah, and we teach you, however, that it cannot be eaten in the state of Tumah. And you're right, the same thing would apply to all similar karbanas, which would be the Se'ir HaGolem, that you could throw the blood even though it's Tumah, but you cannot eat it in the state of Tumah. And that the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, that that's why we didn't say it, because we already know it from the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, so Se'ir Rosh Chodashim Nami Lei Nisni, we should not have said the fifth one, of the Se'ir, the He-Goats of Rosh Chodesh. Just like you said regarding the Se'ir HaGolem, we don't say it. We shouldn't have said the Zivchei, the Se'ir Rosh Chodashim, because we say already Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, which is the same Se'irim. One's just on Yom Tov, one's on Rosh Chodesh. So why with that one did we say and not Se'ir HaGolem? On that army, they said, and we continue on top of the Ein Zayin Amud Aleph, Se'ir Rosh Chodashim Itzchalein. Now that case of the Rosh Chodashim Se'irim, we had to say, because we would have thought to say that they would not be included and they would not be deichatoma. Because all karbanos tzibur, as the Gemara later on will explain, we learn from the term of mayid, where it says mayid, therefore we're allowed to do it even in the state of tumah. But Rish Chodesh does not say mayid, so we think that that's not allowed. Kamash malam, the Rish Chodesh ikimay. The chiddush that the Mishnah was saying by counting it, although we would have known l'chara from zivchei shalma tzibur, is because it does not say the term of mayid by Rish Chodesh. The chiddush is that there is a term of mayid by Rish Chodesh. Could Abai, like Abai says, Tam Abai, the Abai says, tamush dehay shata. Tammuz of that year, which is a reference to the year when they were in the Midbar, when they sent the Meraglim to go spy out Eretz Yisrael, Meluye Malyua, they had made Tammuz into a full month, and that is therefore the 40 days ended up coming out on Tes Ba'av, on Tisha B'Av, and not on Yud Ba'av as it normally would, as the Gemara explained the last parak of Masechtas Tainis, and that was the day which was set for crying for generations. That's why it was only because they had made Tammuz into a full month. Like it says the pasuk in Eicha, which says this idea, how Hashem made it, although generally Tammuz is a deficient month, there's only 29, not 30 days, but they made it 30, it should come out on Tisha B'Av, which is the day that will always live on in day of Tzaris for Klai Yisrael, Kara Alai Mayit, that he called upon me a designated time, Lishba Bachuri, to break my young ones, which means to say that Hashem made it in the way that it should come out, that it should be on Tes B'Av, not Yud B'Av, that's why they made it into a full month. However, what you do see from that pasuk, the way Abai is interpreting, is that it uses the term moyed, that in the, that Hashem made the month a full month, which means that the Ibra Chodesh, the 30th day of Tammuz, which is Rish Chodesh, that 30th day and the first day of Av, or Rish Chodesh, it's being called moyed, that Hashem made a moyed, he made another day of Rish Chodesh, the 30th day, Lishba Bachuri, so that it should come out on Tisha B'Av and not on Yud B'Av, to have it on that same day. So you see that Rish Chodesh is called Mayid, and that was the Chiddush that Amish was telling you, unlike that interpretation of Abaya, and that is why it's Deichatumah, but the Sira Golem, we know that it's considered a Mayid, and therefore we know that it's Deichatumah, and that's why we didn't have to say it, we already know it from Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur.